Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell and I'm joined today by Randy and Ed Edson.
Hi Pete, how are you? Have you had any lackluster breakfasts?
Yes, I should really stop telling you what I want to talk about on the podcast before we start recording because it's really ruined the thunder a little bit. We'll be talking about my lackluster breakfast this morning in the outro.
Ooh, what a tease.
So much to talk about in the outro today. It's very much my own Datsun World problem. But first we should probably get into talking about SmackDown itself, where Retribution, which has to be said like that because it's all in capitals, showed up on SmackDown and caused some chaos, and everyone hated it, apparently, apart from me. Here's the show. And the first thing we're going to be talking about on today's episode is this brand new faction called Retribution.
Retribution.
Which has to be said like that because it's all in capitals. It's very important to remember that. They debuted on Raw on Monday, where they threw a Molotov cocktail at a generator and were really happy about it. That was about all they did. But on this show, there were teasers throughout the show, which I say teasers, they were literally saying Retribution is going to be here later, and that was pretty much the tease. Was them, they had, you know, the lights flickering and the audio issues with the mics cutting out. And then every single time that happened, either the commentary team or the person in the segment themselves just went, this looks like what happened with Retribution on Monday. Like,
it could have been the SmackDown hacker.
That's true, who's been dropped seemingly. Haven't heard from them in what, a month? 2 months?
I'd say closer to 2 months.
2 months, yeah, probably. Something like that.
Because it was supposed to pay off with Money in the Bank.
That's right, it was. Oh, that was a good time. So there were teasers throughout the show with commentary being like, I don't know, this sounds like Retribution to me. It's dumb. And then it got to, after the main event, there was Mandy and Sonya Deville were backstage, continuing their shouting match at each other, and suddenly the lights cut out, and then there's loads of people in hoods and masks coming storming to the ring with baseball bats and crowbars and spray paint, and one guy had a chainsaw, and they all came in and they started doing stuff. They beat the ring with their bats, and they beat up some of the NXT guys behind the plexiglass, and they spray painted on the plexiglass some of it did not work on the plexiglass that just did not show up. But you
it
know,
was a big W, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Yeah. What I got from it was that they were going, WWE sucks with anarchy and stuff.
I don't know. There was one with the red spray paint that did like a big W and like crossed through it. There were some that were just kind of spray painting nothing, just like random squiggles on like the steps and like across the apron and stuff.
I'm just expressing myself.
Pretty much, yeah. And then they beat up a load of the NXT guys behind the plexiglass as well. Kind of, there was one girl in particular that got absolutely bullied, like surrounded by four of them, got like knocked out and thrown into the plexiglass again. It was nuts. And then they got back into the ring. Guy got a chainsaw and then just sawed these ropes in half. He sawed the ropes and then they all went, way, and then it went off the air.
I saw a rope in half.
Yeah. So I'm going to go on a limb here because I've seen a lot of people hate on this segment. And I'm not going to lie, it wasn't amazing, right? Mm. But I thought it was fine. It was good. I thought this was a new group. It was a very, very different way to end the show than what we've seen in recent times. Mm. I mean, the last two endings and the last two shows I thought have been really, really good. The Fiend attacking Alexa Bliss last week was great. It's a great way to end the show. And this week, having something completely different like this and going like, they're here to cause chaos kind of thing, I thought it worked quite well. Granted, I don't think it's quite as effective as like the Nexus debut, because they came in and they just tore up the ring and like beat up everyone at ringside. And this one was just kind of them being like, spray paint, we're going to saw the ropes. But the main complaint I've seen from people online is that the people are short. And I'm like, well, what's that got to do with it? I don't understand the complaint with people. Like, people like Rey Mysterio, people like Shorty G, whose whole thing is like, I'm short, blah, 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 blah. And people are like, no, he's an amazing wrestler. But as soon as people come in and they go, well, these guys are short, I can't take him seriously. I'm like, what? Are you Vince? What's the mindset here? I don't understand people.
27 years of frustration coming out of Pete now.
Totally. Yeah, I just really hate when people hate on short people. That's what it is. That's what the whole point is. It's about my height and not anyone else's.
I do agree. No,
yeah, I think it's a dumb criticism because it doesn't hold any weight, because they came in with actual weapons, not kendo sticks, not chairs, like baseball bats, crowbars, a chainsaw. Height doesn't really play into it. And it's not like they were, you know, they're not Hornswoggle. They're people. You know, they're not saying that Hornswoggle isn't a person. That came out wrong. You know what I mean. They came in with weapons. So height doesn't really play a factor anymore when you've got actual... I don't get that criticism.
Yeah. And also, the people here are probably not going to be the people that it ends up being.
Absolutely.
The guy might be short, but it might end up being Babatunde. Sorry, whatever his name was.
Boba Keo? Boba Fett? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Jango Fett. It's going to be, yeah. But also what I don't understand is fans going, oh, WWE, just try something new. Hurry up. WWE, try something new. Oh, what? I don't like it. Why are you trying something new? This is rubbish. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's fair enough if you don't like it, but don't mock it because of something so trivial as the fact that you thought that they were shorter than you were expecting them to be. Mm. I mean, I, who see Hornswoggle as a person, never...
Let's not make that a
never,
thing.
Never, ever saw him as anything less than a wrestler. At that point, it becomes you are looking for something to complain about rather than it being bad, therefore you're complaining about it. It's, oh man, this was fine, but I like complaining about WWE, so... Oh, they're a bit short. I know it might be rich us saying, oh, you shouldn't complain about WWE, because we do that a lot. But it feels very kind of slightly childish to be like, oh, well, I guess they were short. I'm gonna latch onto that as the thing I'm annoyed about this week.
Yeah, it didn't seem to make any sense to me because... Like, I thought it was fine. It's an interesting way and a different way because WWE can be really, really stale most of the time. It's the same formula every week and it's the same kind of endings. And having something new and refreshing, even though it might not be like the best segment in the world, it's still different. It's new. It's fresh. I'm okay with it. I'd much rather see this play out and, you know, judge it after a few weeks of stuff rather than just an immediate thing, because I thought it was, it did what it set out to do. It was a little bit shocking. It was chaotic, which is what they wanted it to be. And I thought they looked all right. It doesn't have to be, you know, it's not the Nexus. It's not the Shield, but it doesn't have to be. I don't get why. I understand the comparisons between them, but I don't think they should automatically just be treated as, you know, lesser because their debuts weren't as good as the others. You know, it they're still an interesting group. And like you mentioned before, like the people who did this assault probably aren't going to be the people that are actually going to end up in the group, especially since one of them is supposedly going to be Dominik Dijakovic, who is a very tall lad, lest we forget. And he's been doing a load of teasers for it on Twitter, you know, blacking out his profile and hiding images in his profile picture and stuff like that. Like that, if he's going to be part of the group, he was not part of this group, I can tell you that much, because he would have stood out like a sore thumb. So,
yes. That might be why they're doing it.
Yeah, well, maybe.
It might have been a kind of Dark Order thing where these are his minions and it turns out that he's behind it all.
He's Mr. Dijakovic.
Exactly. So, yeah, and like you said, it was a little bit shocking, which I believe was the original catchphrase for the Undisputed Era.
A little bit shocking.
I'm fine with that. Like,
yeah,
as much as I knew it was coming, I sort of enjoyed the way it was done. I've never seen a chainsaw in a WWE ring. I've seen it, obviously, Bray Wyatt used one in the 5-5 Fan House last year. But to actually bring a chainsaw into the rope, I've never seen someone just cut a rope in half. I've seen the ropes I've seen the turnbuckle snap and stuff, but to actually just like cut a rope in half, I mean, that's a lot of admin.
Yeah, exactly, right? So you can see why they only taped one episode of SmackDown this week, because they were like, not got any ropes anymore.
Oh, crap, we should have really done that as the last thing. Oh.
Yeah, should have done that for next week's episode. God, us. But they are going back to live WWE programming soon, so...
The one perhaps before they can do SummerSlam, I believe.
One before that. SummerSlam, yeah. That's supposedly the plan right now. So maybe they can do this sort of stuff more regularly. But yeah, so for everyone expecting me to just crap on Retribution the whole time, I'm sorry, but I just didn't think it was that bad. Stuff like the karaoke showdown is worthy of a rant. This, I don't think was. I thought it was okay. I'm sorry.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzle Mania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzle Mania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
We want to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on a Patreon. If you haven't been to WrestleTalk's Patreon page yet, you should. Load of extra bonus content, podcasts and the such. The votes are going on right now until tomorrow morning for what Ollie and Luke are going to review for WrestleTalk Extra, their bonus podcast, though, where they review a retro pay-per-view. The vote's still going on for that, and it looks like it's going to be a two-horse race between SummerSlam 2002 and SummerSlam 2010.
Both two equally good shows.
Yes, two very much two ends of the spectrum on the goodness scale. So yeah, you can go vote on that if you're a $5 or above pledge hammer. But if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, did I say 20 or 25?
20, God, my 25. Brain.
Okay, my brain is frazzled. $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling name, and it gets shouted out on a show much like this one. So thank you to Shield Maiden, the Zornice.
Woo! Oh, you. Yeah.
You got a cheap pop as well.
Thug Life, Andreas Fuglistaller.
Hey, thank you very much. Rob Steiner Recliner.
Woo! Oh, thank great you. Name. Ross Koopa Scoopa Koopa.
Hey, thank you. Bad Connection, Thomas Lagden.
Woo! Thank you. Jack Daniels on the Carl Rocks.
Woo! Yes, thank you. Andrew, the Last Airbender, Mercogliano. I don't know how to say your surname. Woo!
Andrew! Yeah. Blompier's number one fan, Tom Delves.
Woo! Thank you very much. Never wrong, Tyler Wright. Woo! Thank you.
The Incredible Tarzo.
Woo! Thank you. The Jester, Ryan Kester. Woo! Thank you.
And last for this week, send me to heaven, Evan Wright.
Thank you. I really need to speak to Ollie about you rolling your R's. Anyway, yes, that is all the time we've got for this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you very much for watching, and please press the videos that have just appeared on the screen to catch up with the latest awesome WrestleTalk things, and the button in the middle that will make you become a pledge hammer on Patreon. I've been Charles B. Quinnell. This has been Randy Andy Datson, and that was Smack. The show started off with a recap of the Swamp Fight and the attack on Alexa Bliss last week, which was a great thing to do considering it's the thing that closed the show last week. It's the thing that people were most interested in going into this week, and they addressed it right away. Straight into a Firefly Funhouse, where all the pictures in the Firefly Funhouse have been changed to pictures of Braun Strowman, which I thought was a nice touch. And then Bray essentially just blamed Braun for what he did last week, just saying, well, how could you let this happen, Braun? You should have protected her. It's all your fault. Essentially, which I thought was
kind of
great.
Stop hitting yourself. Braun, this is your fault. Which was good. Yeah, I mean, it sort of set up the less good angle later. But yeah, it was a good way to remind fans that remember last week. Yes, well, we're still actually doing that thing. We're carrying on a story. Mm. And it starts off on a positive note. And then it had a positive match to start as well. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, this went straight into after Bray essentially said, like, you better save her this week, otherwise you're going to see what I'm really capable of. I was like, ooh. And then it sounded very, very ominous. And then it cut away from the Firefly Funhouse straight into, are you ready for a good time? Alex is probably not ready for a good time, but okay.
Maybe she likes the Fiend.
Maybe she
I does. See him as a human.
Yeah, me too. We then get Matt Riddle versus Sheamus, which was the opening contest for this week, which As soon as I heard that lineup, which I think I got announced like yesterday, the day before, or something like that, I heard it and I was like, oh, cool. Like, yeah. I want, after the Hardy feud, I was like, well, I hope Sheamus goes into something like meaningful afterwards and putting him straight in with Matt Riddle. I was like, oh, thumbs up from me. Let's go. This should be a good match. And it was. I thought it was a very good match.
Yeah.
They had a really nice start where they were both just kind of feeling each other out to start with. And they had a really, really physical back and forth as a match went on. Like, the 10 beats of the Bower and whatever it is that he does is really, like, physical stuff. There was lots of cool Matt Riddle flashy offense with plenty of Brotons. Still the worst name, but there's a really nice bit that I really liked when he went for the floating bro, also a terrible name, and he landed on his feet and rolled through, and Sheamus instantly, really, really smoothly got on his feet and just picked him up straight into the white noise, yeah. Which I thought was just such a cool little sequence of just kind of roll through from the floating bro, stand up, bang, straight into the white noise. I thought it was really, really fun. It had a bit of an inevitable ending. I saw it coming a mile away just because of what happened last week with Shorty G turning heel. Yeah, they brawl to the outside. Matt Riddle was out there. Sheamus rolls back into the ring. And then Shorty G runs down and causes the DQ, attacking Matt Riddle, which was to be expected, giving him a DQ win.
And then he runs wild and he stands tall at the end. I'm pretty sure that I'm remembering that right, MIP.
I think that's what happens, yeah. Oh, no, wait. No.
No?
Matt Riddle absolutely annihilates Shorty G and makes him look entirely useless.
And then Sheamus is like, oh, picks up Shorty G and goes, no, great job, mate. You did a really good job. That's what Sheamus does, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's pretty... Wait, no. Pretty sure it was something else. Pretty sure that Sheamus got really mad at getting a DQ loss and then picked up Shorty G and said, why'd you cause me a DQ loss? And bro kicked him twice.
Yeah, sorry, I really got to watch this closer now. I just assumed they might actually build on last week's heel turn and not just make him look like a doofus.
Yeah, which they definitely did. They definitely did make him look completely useless, and the heel turn last week was almost entirely pointless. I'm holding out hope that he's getting beaten down so much that he just scraps the whole Shorty G thing.
Yeah,
and he was like, look,
add Gable.
He turns into Chad, bad, full. No, it was almost there, but it wasn't. Can't think of any others.
No.
Naughty G. Yeah,
that was Adam Pacitti's.
I know
it
was.
Stole that from Adam Pacitti.
Yep, 100%. Which I'm gonna say now and claim it's mine. Gable just got absolutely annihilated in this segment, came out and attacked Riddle from behind. And it was literally like a punch from behind. Didn't even hit like a move or anything. Just kind of forearm to the back of the head. Oh no, it's a DQ. And then Matt Riddle beat the ever loving piss out of him.
Yeah.
And then he got bro kicked twice. Great segment. Sheamus was angry backstage at Corbin, kind of coming in and be like, your minion, Shorty G, just cost me my match. What the hell, man? And Corbin was like, well, you're lucky I've got to deal with Jeff Hardy because otherwise I put a dent in your skull right now. I was like, all right. And you know what? I thought this was all right. I was weirdly into this. Not necessarily because I want to see Sheamus versus Corbin, but because I like it when characters make sense. And it makes a lot of sense that Sheamus would be pissed off that he got a DQ loss because of Shorty G and by extension by Corbin. So it makes sense for him to not be all buddy-buddy with Corbin because he's a heel. Yeah.
What I don't want to see is Corbin feuding with Sheamus.
I
don't know. I like, as much as Corbin's a good out of ring character, I find him a very boring in ring character.
Which is weird because his moveset is so good. Yeah.
But he has a way of making it dull. Weirdly.
I don't know
if it's just because he always matches are the same, just like Jeff Hardy matches now, unfortunately, because he's a bit older than he used to be. Oh, the same match every week. You've got vintage Jeff Hardy with the leg drop onto the penis, and he'll do all the moves that you expect him to do, and he won't do any other moves. It's a bit like watching Randy Orton.
Little bit, although Orton's been very good.
Yes, but Orton recently has such a presence, which the unfortunately others don't. Hopefully their match later in the night is a one-off. And that it's more of a kind of a mid-card feud without it becoming a vortex.
Yes, hopefully. But yeah, that was later on. Before that, we got the best segment on the show, sarcasm. It was the dirt sheet. John Morrison and The Miz. And I said this in my SmackDown review in the, as part of the WrestleTalk news earlier as well. But the dirt sheet, I have a love-hate relationship with, because I feel like it's really inconsistent whether it's funny or not. Yes. There'll be some times when I'm like, this is hilarious. These guys are so charismatic. God, this is like genuinely funny stuff. And there'll be some weeks where I'm like, God, I'm cringing so hard. Please stop. This is not funny. And this was one of those weeks. It wasn't good.
It feels a bit like on the weeks that they have a lot more input, it's better. And on the weeks that Vince and someone else has written it, then it's like, who told them it was a good idea to interview some hair? Who said it's going to be funny? It was silly.
It was very silly, yeah. As previously mentioned, they interviewed Mandy Rose's hair after it got cut off last week, which was just someone with like a mop head, essentially, with some googly eyes on it and on the Titantron, and they provided the voices for the hair. It wasn't good.
That is comedy gold.
Yeah. Something I did like, actually, was the opening line from John Morrison, saying that, hi, I'm John Morrison, and no one is more underground than me. Because he was in Lucha Underground.
Wow. Johnny Mundo.
Yeah. God, what a reference, buddy. Mm. And then, yeah, this was the first time where the mic's cut out, and then Miz just goes, huh, how about that retribution on Monday? It's like, guys, little subtlety. Come on. Jesus. But yeah, it wasn't funny. But then they introduced Sonya Deville, and I was like, wow, now suddenly I'm much more interested.
Yes.
Because Sonya is fantastic. She cut a typically brilliant Sonya promo saying, Mandy Rose hasn't posted anything since. All she cares about is her image. That's the whole thing. She got a bumpy award this week. Do you know what it was for? It was for making out with Otis. Need I say more than that? Like, top tier stuff, Sonya. Love it. More of that. Buddy loves Sonya Deville. Don't know whether I mentioned that before. I think she's my favorite person in WWE right now. Maybe.
Yeah, I know. I mean, she's great. If you just watch SmackDown, podcast, you would think so. So yes, that could be right.
Yep. Then she starts mouthing off Otis as well, as do Miz and Morrison, and Otis and Tucker come out and they chase off Miz and Morrison. And I thought it was going to lead into a Heavy Machinery versus Miz and Morrison match then, but no, that was for the main event later. Otis actually remembered his briefcase this week, which was nice. Yeah,
which was nice, because you would have forgotten by now that he is Mr. Man in the Bag. I still have no clue how they are going to build him into a feud to cash this in.
I'm hoping...
the tag belts, it's not going to make sense.
Yeah. I'm hoping that he's involved in a feud. Let's say this one, for example, with Miz and Morrison and Sonya, where he will attempt to cash in out of nowhere on, let's say, Braun. Let's say he's still champion, whatever. He'll attempt to cash in on Braun, and like Sonya will be the one that stops him, and he fails his cash in. That would be fine. It would be a waste of the money in the bank for this year, but I think it would be even worse if he successfully cashed in for the world title, because as much as I love Otis, he's not a world champion in his current gimmick.
Absolutely not, no. His gimmick is too silly. I mean, what one thing that just sprang to mind suddenly was, I mean, The Fiend has got Alexa. Could he just be expanding his repertoire of blonde pretty ladies? Could he go for Mandy next? And that's how you get Otis involved. I don't want to see that, but that is a bridge.
Fiend versus Otis.
And then Otis. No, you can't have Otis beat the Fiend with a cat killer.
No. Oh my God, no. I didn't even think about what he's finishing with. Yeah, no, not at all. Anyway, let's move on before that terrifying prospect to Cesaro versus Lince Dorado. Saw Cesaro coming out for a singles match. I was like, already thumbs up. Bloody love Cesaro. And then Lucha House Party's music hit. I was like, thumbs up. Don't care which one of them it is. I'm excited for it. Mm. And yeah, I thought this was really, really fun. It was quick. It was fast paced. There were some really cool spots. There was a brilliant looking backbreaker from Cesaro that looked brutal on Lindsay. And it looked like at one point that Dorado was going to get the shock roll up victory. But Cesaro managed to kick out of it, hit a brutal looking uppercut and a neutralizer for the win. Cool.
Yes, absolutely.
For me.
My God, I wish they would change the name of Lucha House Party. Especially as like Kalisto's not there anymore. Two people, it could just be a tag team now. I mean, they've got quite cool names. You could make them Grand Metalik, Grand Dorado, like the Great Gold, or the Metal Lions, like the Lindsay Metalik.
Ooh, Metal Lions is bad.
I don't know, but it's better than Lucha House Party.
That's true.
Yeah, no, it was cool to see Lindsay Dorado have a good match. I mean, it was always going to be a good match with a bit of time. Cesaro is amazing. This is probably going to be our SummerSlam SmackDown tag team match.
Yep.
Can't see the Luchas winning. They actually put over like the fact that Lindsay could have won if he just capitalized at the end. But yeah, he just got got turned into an uppercut and a neutralizer. So
yeah, I thought it was really good. And I'm excited for that match at SummerSlam. I think it's going to be really fun if they give it a little bit of time.
Yep.
Otis is backstage next and he is angry. About the things and the stuff that Miz and Morrison and Sonya were saying. I thought he was pretty good when he was fired up here and he wasn't like joking around, because he was like, look, this whole thing, everything's a joke to Miz and Morrison, but once I'm done with them, no one's going to be laughing anymore. And then like it cuts to like Tucker said some stuff, but like Otis was very, very fired up, and then he like, as he walked off, he like pushed over this crate that like fell to the floor and stuff, and I was like, oh, I like fired up Otis. I like serious Otis. Give me more of that. I thought
pushed over a crate and didn't realize that Roman Reigns was on the other side, and Kayla Braxton going, oh, Roman, run away,
Roman. I thought it was pretty good. You know what I thought wasn't pretty good?
No, Pete, tell me.
The Fiend.
Oh,
weirdly, yeah,
same.
After the brilliant segment they had last week, thought this one was a bit naff. I'm curious still. It's still holding my interest, but I thought this one was not as good as last week. Because firstly, I've missed the Fiend's entrance so much. God, he did it on SmackDown, and I was like, I haven't seen a proper Fiend entrance in so long. God, I love it. It's so good. I love the music.
I don't want it on SmackDown. It's a special thing. Like, I just have the Fiend appear in the ring.
I guess so. But that's what he's done since Mania? Question mark? No, not even a Mania, because that was a Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah, but he hasn't appeared on SmackDown with the actual Fiend entrance, has he?
No, he hasn't, but we haven't seen an actual Fiend entrance in months, is what I'm saying.
No, like, I know, but like you can still save it for SummerSlam.
I guess so, but I liked it. I don't mind. I get to hear the music more. That's fine. And it's only slightly ruined by Michael Cole, who says really boring, inane stuff like the presence of the Fiend. What does that even mean, Cole? What does that do? That doesn't put anything over.
Oh my.
Yeah. Oh my.
It's the big Fiend.
Inane nonsense.
It's Fiend time.
Yeah. He starts making his entrance. It cuts to an ad break. It comes back, and Alexa Bliss is in the ring. Am I missing something? Did she come out at any point? She was just there now. No,
we may be told that on everyone else's feed, it was a brilliant angle where Alexa was kidnapped and dragged to the ring. But no, it came back. Alexa was in the same position that it ended last week.
In, like, the same clothes as well.
Yeah. So unless she was transported, unless she was under the ring, like Hornswoggle, who is a person, unless she's like that. Yeah, it was just a bit kind of like, okay, yep. Yeah, what this looks like is you didn't know how to get Alexa out there, so you just put her there. Which isn't the best way to kind of introduce one of your leading segments.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said to you before we went on air, it looked like they wanted to further the angle from last week, but they couldn't think of a way to get Alexa there So they just put it there with no explanation. Yeah, so Alexa was there. She was still looking not as scared as last week, but still a little bit apprehensive.
They've been dating for a week now. So
that's true, yeah. Fiend did a big old wind-up looking like he was going to do another mandible claw on her before Alexa just puts her hand out and just stops his arm. Just, no. And then she just caresses the side of his face. Ooh. And the Fiend just kind of stops and he just kind of gets up and he's like, what? And he just kind of stands up and looks all like flustered.
Next week you're going to have Alexa and the Fiend next to a pool.
And Fiend does a cannonball.
Fiend does a cannonball. And Alexa is like dreaming about them kissing in the water. Honestly, if this turns into a genuine romance storyline, I will never watch WWE again.
You're going to have to. It's your job, mate.
No. I don't watch SmackDown. I just read your notes.
Of course you do, mate. Yeah. He gets all flustered and stuff and starts walking around the ring. And then half of Braun's face comes on the Titantron. About this much of his head. So it's from like his nose up to like his forehead. That's all you can see. And then he cuts a deep, spooky promo. Oh, I was in the swamp, and now I'm the most evil man that ever lived.
He was in the room.
I know, yeah.
Really good impression. Yeah, he goes, I am the monster.
I'm the most evil son of a bitch ever. And then says the Fiend can challenge him at SummerSlam for the Universal Championship. Face your fears. Face the monster. And that was the promo.
That will be the promo line for SummerSlam. Face the monster.
I'm pretty sure. Oh, have you seen the actual tagline for SummerSlam?
No.
It's not good. It's not as bad as the greatest wrestling show or the horror show.
Kick monsters.
I'm pretty sure it's You'll Never See It Coming. SummerSlam. Or SummerSlam, You'll Never See It Coming. Which is like,
did John Cena there?
Well, I mean, you would see it coming because you order it on pay-per-view. So hopefully you would see it coming.
Now I'm trying to think of the match that they are like building to with that.
No, I think it's probably just supposed to be like, there's going to be surprises at this show, which hopefully there will be. I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe it's going to be somewhere that you wouldn't see it coming.
Maybe. Raw Underground, the whole
show. Yeah, it's just going to be completely pitch black, just with sound effects.
So you literally will not see it. But then after Braun says that Fiend can challenge at SummerSlam, their segment just ends. So is Alexa okay? Are they gone now? What's happened? Sure, I'm sure we'll find out next week. Probably, maybe. I don't know.
Got two more weeks to build SummerSlam.
Yep.
Alexa, it does feel like they're building to Alexa being some version of Sister Abigail. I wouldn't be surprised if she has a new look in the next weeks. Maybe she gets a black wig or something, make her look a bit more... Not saying people with black hair are evil, but WWE.
Gothic.
Yeah, WWE will think, oh, black hair, that's evil. She's not blonde anymore. Therefore, she must be horrible.
Absolutely, yes. I think that Braun is like the least interesting part of this feud. I'm now really invested in Alexa and The Fiend, and I want to know what's going on with that. Don't really care about the Universal Championship at this point. But after that, we got Hardy versus Corbin, which was, in fact, a match.
Yes.
I don't have anything to say about this match.
Earlier how Corbin matches are boring and how Jeff Hardy matches are a bit boring. So put them together and you can imagine what it was like. It wasn't really a match. It was an angle to kind of build on what happened earlier. Sheamus comes out and kicks Hardy in the face. Says, yeah, go and be an addict, probably, again. And then that leads into a argument between Sheamus and Corbin, who then have a match. Again.
Yeah. I like the idea behind it. I like the mirror of what happened earlier with Sheamus coming about, well, you're going to cost me my match, I'll cost you your match. Here's a bro kick to Jeff Hardy. Lol, 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 lol. But then them leading straight into a Sheamus versus Corbin match, I didn't like too much. Heel versus heel matches are always tricky to get right, and I don't think this one worked, personally. I personally was cheering for Sheamus, but that's because I like Sheamus more than I do Corbin. I shouldn't really be cheering for the guy that wanted to make Jeff Hardy succumb to addiction again, which is just, it's kind of like flawed storytelling.
Yeah,
I think
jarring the last few weeks. It's just kind of like, oh, so he's the good guy now, is he?
He's the good guy? Question mark. He's been screwed over, so that makes me like him.
Character, like, who doesn't care about being good or bad? But as long as they present it like that and not just kind of just kicks people.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But then after their match, which didn't go too long, Matt Riddle came in and caused a distraction, kind of did a springboard nothing, springboard, and then just jumped straight over Corbin. But it distracted him long enough to hit for Sheamus to hit a bro kick. And he picked up the win, which was nice. I you know what? As much as I'm crapping on Corbin versus Sheamus, I really like the fact that they're intertwining these storylines and having, like, you know, the whole Riddle, Corbin, Hardy, Gable. I'm missing someone. Sheamus. Did I say Sheamus?
Possibly.
Sheamus, Riddle, Corbin, Gable, Hardy. Five people. I really like the fact that they're kind of intertwining all these people together. I really hope it builds into something like a Fatal 5-Way number one contenders Intercontinental Championship match at SummerSlam. I think that would be really, really fun. And it would actually have a lot of stakes built into it from all the intertwining stories and relationships these guys have. I think that would be cool, personally. And then you could have someone like, you know, someone unexpected. You could have, like, Gable win that from out of nowhere. Like, he's been beat down repeatedly before this. Finally sheds off his shorty genius and then comes out of nowhere as Chad Gable, wins the number one contendership, and suddenly you're like, oh! Is Chad Gable is the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship? Cool. I'd be into that. I think that'd be cool.
Yes. And speaking of things I'm into, Big E.
Big E.
Say whatever, and I will be loving it. Yep. I mean, they have kind of, that's a week gone from his 6-week push that he's getting. That was the only negative, but yeah, I mean, they've still got 3 weeks, I guess, until Kofi's back. So let's see what they do with it.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the promo was fantastic. I don't even know what he said, but I don't care because I was into it. Like, he's basically just saying, I'm great, New Day's awesome. It's all he needs to say, but he says it so charismatically that you're just into every word he's saying. It's great. But yeah, can't wait to see more single stuff from him. And then Bayley and Banks were backstage, sowing more seeds of dissension after Banks had made a match for Bayley against Asuka on Raw. They were like, oh, why'd you do that? Well, you know, we're the best. We've got all the gold, etc. And then some random dude comes up to him to be like, oh, you're needed in the ring. You're having a video conference with Stephanie McMahon. And they're like, not mum. And yeah.
I like the idea that, like, oh, yeah, we've got Stephanie on Zoom, but for some reason we can only get her on the Titantron. All our other monitors are broken. So you're going to have to go out to the ring.
Yeah. Have a chat. And something that I found out after the show that I thought was hilarious, because it's so obvious when you watch it back. This next segment, when Bayley and Banks were in the ring, was recorded on a green screen in an empty PC with noise piped in on it. It was just them standing on a green screen. Stephanie McMahon wasn't there. They were just on a green screen the whole time, which I thought was hilarious. But yeah, they were there being like, oh, where's Stephanie? And then she appears on the fake Titantron behind them and talking to her to be like, we're the best. We're amazing. We're just trying to replicate what you're doing. We know what's best for business. Blah, 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 blah. And then Stephanie's like, I'm Stephanie. I'm the best. You all should bow down to me because no one else can get over on this show because I'm Stephanie McMahon and I have to be the best all the time. That's not what she said, but that's basically what came across. Basically said that, hey, you've been, you know, circumventing the rules. I'm going to make a new challenge for you guys. Sasha, you will be defending your Raw Women's Championship at SummerSlam. Maybe it might be against Asuka. It's like, wow, wait, spoilers. And then she said, Bayley, you're going to be defending your SmackDown Women's Championship as well. And your number one contender is going to be determined next week because they're going to be doing a triple brand battle royale on SmackDown next week to find out who's going to win.
Which is code for, oh, we don't want it to be on SmackDown. So let's just make it a battle royal, because that means anyone can win.
Yes. Or it's going to be someone like Naomi. And they could have had someone on SmackDown, but they just want to promote three brands. Triple brand cross promotion. I don't know. Something dumb like that. But yeah, so Bayley's going to have a new number one contender next week. Should be good. It's a battle royale. Cool. Into it. That's fine. Jesus Christ, though. Stephanie, can you stop just degrading everyone that's on your show? Seriously. It's every time she comes in, she just talks down to everyone and then just leaves with her head held high like nothing's happened. It's the worst. Anyway, main event time. Miz and Morrison versus Heavy Machinery.
Yes.
This was fine. Tell you what, really miss Tucker.
Yeah.
Love Tucker. He's great.
Awesome. He is the better, he's not as charismatic as Otis, but he's clearly the better wrestler. So they do let him do most of the wrestling, and then Otis does his caterpillary spots. Seeing him back after so long was really cool. But again, this was kind of, once again, more of an angle than it was a match, because it built into the retribution.
Retribution, yes. Which was, yeah, they had some lights flickering in the match as well. Tucker got worked over. Otis got a hot tag. Miz broke up a caterpillar pin when it looked like Otis was going to win. And then they brought to the outside. And then Mandy, with shorter hair, came out and started attacking Sonya Deville. And they brought it into the ring. And despite nobody in the match actually being in the ring at the time, this somehow caused a DQ for the actual match.
She's got a new hair. Yeah, that was basically
it.
She looks nice with short hair. That was my takeaway.
She does.
And yeah, they had a squabble, which went into the ring. It got DQ'd for no reason. You saw it a bit backstage, and poor Matt Pearce.
Adam Pearce.
Who was I thinking of? I don't know who I'm thinking of. Maybe I know someone called Matt Pearce. Adam Pearce. Luckily he's about 6'8" and massive. But he was
he was crouching there though. Yeah. So he was smaller than them. It was weird.
The only person breaking this whole thing up. Did a good job, but it did make it look a bit of a naff sprawl when you have when Brock Lesnar has a brawl, you have the entire locker room is trying to stop him and failing. Whereas these girls is like, stop it. Stop.
Yeah.
I'm going to bang your heads together.
Yeah. Literally, their uncle comes out and says, girls, stop it now. Just kind of in between them, just trying to hold them apart. It's just one guy. It was hilarious. But yeah, and that's when it led into the lights cutting out and the whole retribution angle that happened. And then that was the show. I thought it was fine. I thought you can tell that they were struggling to fill time, that, you know, there's reports of SmackDown tapings going crazy this week. They only managed to film one show when they were supposed to film two because of loads of rewrites and last minute redos and stuff like that. And you can tell that they were filling the time. They had two Sheamus matches and two King Corbin matches in the show, which, you know, you can tell they were filling for time. But I thought the stuff that they did do was fine. I thought it was good. And I didn't hate the retribution angle. I'm sorry. So overall, I'd give the show a 3 out of 5. Smack bang in the middle.
Me too, Pete. I agree with everything you've said. Please love me.
Yeah. I don't know if people will. I think people are going to hate us in the comments for not hating the thing they hate. But hey ho, what can you do?
As much as they hated the NXT ramble podcast this week.
Oh, that's true. Adam and Laurie were apparently very wrong with their opinion. So, Randy, as we spoke about during the intro, yes, I did have a very lackluster breakfast this morning. But before we get into that, where are you right now?
I'm at the office, Pete.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's crazy.
I know. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm at the office for the second time since lockdown started and the first time to work. So this is my first time working in the office since the 12th of March. I believe so I guess that is 5 months almost, just under five months.
Yeah,
pretty crazy, because it does kind of feel like it was about a week ago, because
really?
Lockdown wow. time goes ridiculously quickly, because for most of the time you're not really doing much.
See, for me, it's the opposite. It feels like it's been like about 9 months since I've been at the office. It feels so long. Like when I think back to like just sitting in the office and just kind of chatting to people and like going to like the little brainstorm area that we had with the, you know, the chairs on the other side of the room. It's like, oh man, that feels like ages since we've done that.
Oh yeah, I'm still very much looking forward to that happening again. I believe the plan, the penciled in plan, is for some kind of return in September.
That's supposedly the idea, yes.
I'm very much looking forward to that because I don't know about you, Pete, but I don't think I'm particularly interesting, and therefore spending time with just myself for the last 5 months has been quite boring. So it will be nice to see other humans.
That is true.
I'm not sure they can say the same about seeing me, but there you go. Mm. I'm thrilled about the prospect of returning. But what I'm not thrilled about is the prospect of lackluster breakfasts.
Oh, boy, howdy. So today, right? So this morning, I was feeling quite hungry, and we'd run out of milk, so we couldn't have any cereal. We'd also just run out of butter, which was bad for like toast and stuff like that. Didn't really have anything to have on toast anyway. So I was like, well, what do I even have? We don't really even have that much food. We're literally going to go shopping later today because we're pretty much out of food. So I was like, you know what? Let's order a breakfast. Let's be crazy. Wow. Let's order a breakfast. And we were just like, should we just get a Subway?
That's very dairying because you haven't got any dairy.
That was bad. So we were like, should we just order a Subway? So we did, right? And got here on time, which was great. Order showed up all fine. Fantastic. And then I opened mine up. It's got the wrong bits in it. Got the wrong salad, mate. It had olives in it. And I hate olives with a passion. I hate olives.
Did you open it to check it first?
It's literally, as I like unwrapped the paper, it like kind of folded itself open and I saw olives in it. And I was like, wait, what? And as it turns out, they put the salad that my lady partner wanted in her Subway, they put in mine. And then they put half of what I wanted in her one. So, what? How?
Was it on Deliveroo?
No, it was Uber Eats.
Because normally you can complain and get your money back. Because with Deliveroo, now... I don't
care enough, though. I know I'm ranting about it on a podcast, but...
I don't urge anyone to do this, obviously. However...
All right, Lance Storm.
What you can do is I once got a curry from Deliveroo, and I was carrying it up my stairs and realized that in transit, the curry had burst open and was in fact leaking out of the paper bag that it arrived in. Still 100% edible, but I thought, oh, I'm going to tell Deliveroo that this has happened. And they were, oh, well, I'm really sorry about that. That's really, really bad. Well, here's a £5 discount. And for some reason, I was just in a bad mood that night. And I was like, no, I want a whole refund. I can't eat this. And they gave me the full refund. I got like a £20 meal for free. And then I ate the meal because it was completely still edible. So
the worst kind of person.
If you're feeling really hungry, everyone.
Jesus Christ.
But you don't want to spend money.
Don't do that.
No,
don't be a dishonest person.
That's bad. I only did it once and I haven't done it since. But speaking of food blunders, Pete.
Oh,
now, is there anything worse?
Probably, yes.
No, there isn't. I mean, wars have nothing on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you buy a packet of sweets? Let's say, for example, you buy a packet of Around Trees fruit pastels. What color is your favorite fruit pastel, Pete?
They all taste the same.
They don't.
There's no difference between fruit pastels.
Okay, fine. Name a sweet that you do think has different flavors. Like Mauam, Chewits.
Yeah, Mauam's a good shout.
Yeah, what's your favorite flavor, Mauam?
Maybe a cherry.
What's your least favorite flavor, Mauam?
They're all good. I don't know. Maybe the orange one. I'm just
okay.
Saying words here, but yeah.
Imagine opening a bag of Mauams, thinking, "Great, I'm gonna have some cherry flavored Mauams here," and the entire packet apart from like two, are orange.
Mm.
And there was two cherry in there. How would you feel?
I mean, all right, because the Malworms are still pretty tasty.
Oh, you'd be furious.
Yeah.
And I've just opened a packet of Maynard's Bassett's Juicy Chews, which are very, very nice. I don't know if you had the hand before. Cherry is actually my least favorite flavor. And in this pack, there were 31 sweets or pieces of candy. How many of them do you think were cherry flavored?
24.
Correct. What a guess, Pete.
I have seen your Twitter.
You've seen my Twitter. That's amazing. 24 pieces out of 31 are cherry flavored. 4 are orange and 2 are strawberry. Strawberry is the whole reason I bought the effing bag.
That's a total of 30, not 31, by the way.
Whatever. I might have eaten one more. But anyway, can you...
Yes, that's not very fair, is it? It should be more evenly distributed.
It should be 10, 10, 10.
All right, Ty Tillinger. Jesus.
Oh, 2 strawberry out of 30. What's the point? And I'm the sort of person who will wait till right at the end to eat my favourite ones, or I'll wait till there's a correct ratio. So I'll wait till I've got 2 orange sweets, 2 cherries, and 2 strawberries. So now I've just got to eat my way through 20 cherry sweets.
Oh, God. Where do I send the donations, mate?
I'm really upset, Pete. And if people want to send money, my PayPal is andydatson@hotmail.co.uk. Just, I need more strawberry sweets, really. Or if you want to send me strawberry sweets, I'll send you my address if you DM me on Twitter.
Speaking of food.
Mm.
We've got a snack lash right here. For those who are tuning into the SmackDown podcast for the first time, sorry. And also, this is a little segment called Snack Lash, where people email in their unusual food combinations that shouldn't go together and that other people will think is disgusting, but people stand by and say, no, this is delicious.
Did you see we were sent one on Twitter this week?
Yes. Yes, we should talk about that one first.
Because that was repulsive.
It was. It also wasn't that person's, though. I think they said that they found it on the internet. So that was almost certainly someone who'd taken that picture to be inflammatory. Because they'd taken some Oreos and they dipped it in salsa, which is just obviously not a combination that would go. It's a picture that they've taken with, you know, salsa on the Oreo. So it's just them trying to be inflammatory is what I'd think anyway.
Yeah, I saw that and it took me a while to realize what was going on. And then as soon as I did, I felt a bit ill.
Mm.
Because
I don't know if anyone actually ate that. I reckon they dipped it in the salsa, took the picture and then went, well, I'm not eating that. And chucked it away.
Yeah, I've got a pretty thick stomach, but that made me feel ill. Speaking of thick, like, just a quick note. I've got pretty high tolerance for gore and stuff. But there was something about seeing a giant hole in Matt Hardy's face this week that made me feel a bit queasy. I was like, oh, that's unusual. I'm usually quite okay with blood, but seeing the kind of skin flap that was coming out of his forehead and the blood coming out of it was like, huh, that's gnarly.
That's gnarly, bruh. Anyway, let's do a snack clash. We've got one here from the headmaster, Jonathan Headman, who says, good appropriate time of day to you both. I hope you're doing well. I finally got to hear the SmackDown podcast version of last week's show at the gym, and it reminded me of something I really like and others think otherwise. I really like peanut butter and turkey sandwiches. Sometimes I'll add chips or cheese or a fried egg. Sometimes
so when he's saying chips,
I'll toast the bread.
He means crisps, doesn't he?
Absolutely,
he's American.
Yes.
Learn to speak English, Americans.
Yep. So it's peanut butter, turkey. Sometimes he'll add chips/crisps or cheese or a fried egg. And sometimes he'll toast the bread. It's absolutely amazing. I was inspired to try that sandwich when I tried Lister's triple fried egg chili chutney sandwich. As for the... And he's also got a bit of a get better here. He's finally under 300 pounds.
Woo!
Nice. Which is awesome.
It's from eating all those peanut butter, turkey, chips, egg and cheese sandwiches.
Absolutely. That's
so
what it
guys,
is.
If you're wondering how to lose weight,
got it right there, man. But... he says, keep up the consistent work and jam that jam. He's got a picture attached of him on the scales at 298.9 pounds and a picture of him in a mask doing an Orange Cassidy thumbs up with a Jam That Jam t-shirt. Go ahead, Jonathan Headmaster Headman. You rule.
That is awesome. What a picture.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, no, I don't have too much of an issue with that. I don't like. I'm not a fan of peanuts or peanut butter.
Me neither.
But apart from that, I can kind of get on board.
Yeah,
I'd actually prefer it if it was like English chips, so French fries. I think the kind of potatoy notes would
turkey would, fries, cheese, and a fried
like
egg.
Cheesy chips with some turkey.
Cheesy chips and a fried egg sounds pretty good, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I could dig that. Just leave out the peanut butter and I'm in.
Yes, exactly. I'm exactly the same there. Yeah. But speaking of talking about things, that's what I'm going to be doing on my brand new D&D YouTube channel that I launched yesterday. What a segue, me. Yeah, guys, I've launched a D&D YouTube channel. It's called Warcaster. Go search for it. This is a shameless plug, by the way. It's called Warcaster. Go and search it on YouTube. Go and subscribe because I've got D&D content. If anyone likes D&D, go do the thing because I'll be talking about D&D stuff on there. It's gonna be good. And promise, go subscribe, please.
I can promise you all that there are few people in this world as passionate about D&D as this man. He basically taught me how to play. He taught my girlfriend how to play. And he was very lovely about the whole thing. And so any content created by him, as you've seen on what's called the Screen Stalker, Parts Fun Known on Wrestle Talk, on the aforementioned Screen Stalk, you will know how wonderful he is. And you should go and subscribe. I will after this. I've given it a plug on. If you can't find it on his Twitter because it's so rammed full of plugs, it's the first thing on my Twitter. So go and have a look. It's called Warcaster.
It is.
Plug it. And I'm now going to plug myself. I get headaches a lot.
Cool. So, in fact, you plug yourself up with painkillers, right?
I have. I think I might have got lucky at the shop just now because it was a corner shop and therefore the prices are kind of written on paper next to the thing. But for some reason, there was Nurofen or ibuprofen painkillers with $2.99 underneath them, but they'd also gone across the shelf, the same product, but that piece of the shelf had $1.99 under it. So I just picked up two from the $1.99 bit, and she was like, okay. And I got them for £2 cheaper than I would have done because I'm a wheeler dealer.
So today on the podcast, you've spoken about how you actively swindle a takeaway company to get a meal for free and also not paid the amount you should have for a product that you bought.
Yeah. I've also run 4 red lights and never been fined. So it's actually okay to run red lights, everyone.
Right. I'm just going to... Don't do that. It's real dangerous.
Have you ever...
If you're driving on the roads... Please obey the laws of the road. It's super dangerous if you don't do that. You're endangering not just yourselves, but everyone else.
Do. Correct.
Yes.
One of my favorite subreddits is illegal life pro tips. You should go and check that out. It is hilarious.
I feel
like we're on lag because we keep talking over each other.
Yes. You are at the very least. Anyway, that's going to be all the time we've got for the WrestleTalk podcast this week. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed, stick around for more podcast content. We've got loads more coming up in the lead up to SummerSlam. Thanks for listening, everyone. Oh, by the way, I should probably say I'm not here next week. I'm not going to be on the SmackDown podcast next week. It's going to be Ollie coming in my place because I've got a week off. So yeah, I'm on a vacay, a stay at home vacay because I ain't going anywhere, but I'm just not going to be working. So yeah, it'll be Ollie and Andy next week doing the SmackDown podcast. But anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.